when you see how corrupt and how the agenda has been here and has been taken to this level. It really is. And I stand here just amazed. And it goes right back to the fallen angels' intrusion into this world, and that our battle is not against flesh and blood, against these entities. We go into more detail on that right now in what happened to the pre-Adamic war, what happened after the pre-Adamic war. Let's do it right now. Let's talk about the dwelling places of the fallen angels. Personally, I believe that these entities live in Antarctica. A lot of them are locked up there. And I believe they have habitations in the atmosphere. This is why Lucifer is referred to the prince of the power of the air by Apostle Paul. That's why, you know, we can't seem to get spaceships outside of the Earth's atmosphere. We can't go up and see things up there. I mean, they don't allow us to do that. We don't know what the world's happening yet. But the Earth and its atmosphere basically are turned into and have been a giant prison run by God's holy angels. And Lucifer, the fallen angels, and the even spirits, evil spirits are confined to the Earth. They can come around inside of the atmosphere. You know, and this battle is being fought continually. That's why the Bible continues to say that our battle is not against flesh and blood. You know, we can look here and we can see Ephesians 2:2 and Ephesians 6:12 and Revelation 12:7 through 13 if you want to have some references for some of that. And we need to understand here that we've got a lot of stuff going on that it's like Jesus said, if you can't understand the earthly things, how can you possibly understand the heavenly things? We know that the narrative at the beginning of the Bible is incomplete. We know that. We know that the entire creation history was not given to Adam and Eve. We know that Adam and Eve really, that Jesus wanted them and God wanted them to refurbish the earth. And he used the term replenish to describe the work he had done. But, you know, that God did not want them to know anything about Lucifer, the prior kingdom on earth, the rebellion, the space war, the sentencing to the lake of fire, nor did God want them to know that Lucifer basically somehow appealed to sentence and was allowed to still come back and forth to the throne room like we see in Joan. And all of this stuff, he didn't want to know any of that stuff. They were basically being put here to prove who God was and that God could create human beings in his image with freedom of will. And then the serpent shows up in the garden. And then finally, about 600 years left after Eve's encounter with Lucifer in the garden, Enoch was born. And just like the Apostle John, Enoch was taken up to heaven and he was given a revelation. Enoch was taken to heaven on several occasions and given information about the fallen angels, who they were, how they operated. You know, and this was not known by mankind until it was revealed to Enoch, you know, before he was taken up in heaven. Enoch was commissioned to record everything he had learned from God and preserve it for future generations. It was Noah, supposedly, who brought the writings of Enoch into the ark, and this is how these amazing accounts survived the flood. The Genesis account about the flood was never merged with Enoch's account, and this is still true today. Now, let me say why this is. At one point, the book of Enoch was in the Bible. And basically the Romans in 323, they took it out. It's still in the Ethiopian Bible today, which ties together all of this information as far as how it happened and when it happened. I think it's interesting to me. Now, so it's not an apocryphal text. The Genesis account up to the flood was never merged with Enoch's account, and it's still true as far as the actual text that the people in the churches agree with. The full story of the creation of the universe and the angels and the redemptive plan for human race was not completely revealed until the book of Revelation came into existence. I talked about this the other day. And we need to understand that. And these evil spirits and these devils or demons dwell on the surface of the earth. Now, they are Lucifer's foot soldiers attacking humans and using their bodies to further the kingdom of Satan. That's why you see this theme of possession road go over and over and over again. Even the Catholic Church has been involved in casting out demons and casting out possession. And these entities on this planet who were basically possessing human beings, they constantly alter the bloodlines of the people whom they possess to make them a more inhabitable place to possess. What does that mean? They got to breed the empathy. They got to breed the sympathy. They got to make them psychopaths. And they've got to make their DNA such that they're going to be easy to go into and control the affairs of human beings. Remember, Lucifer changes tactics, you know, after basically the flood. He realized he couldn't just come in here and break God's rules of engagement and start doing all the things he was doing. So he basically saw that God in his righteousness had to destroy the planet. He didn't expect that to happen because he wanted to create some type of plan of salvation for the angels by co-breeding human beings. We talked about that yesterday. And he wanted to figure out how to get himself back into the goodness of God, and he couldn't do it. And so God showed him that wasn't going to happen. After the flood, you know, Noah's three sons began to procreate. There was rapid growth. Noah was 600 years old when he entered the ark, and he lived another 350 years after the flood. And we can see the population explosions from reading the genealogy of Noah's sons. Despite the traumatic global flood and drifting on the waters for months, Noah's family did not seem that impressed to teach their offspring about God. Noah went from being a fiery preacher and a man that found grace from God to growing a vineyard and pretty much getting and staying drunk. In Genesis 9, 20 to 21, you see that. In other words, he kind of gave up. Logic would dictate that Lucifer was responsible for inspiring Noah to build the vineyard and making him dependent upon alcohol. But all of this stuff happened, and for 100 years, he didn't get any converts outside of his family. He may have lost interest, honestly. You know, but there's no doubt that Lucifer decided that he would go in and start teaching these people different religions. In fact, there's about 4,200 different religions now, right now being practiced by the people around the world. This war that raged across the universe after Lucifer's rebellion wasn't a single battle. It was a protracted conflict. You know, and so we have to understand that demons possessed people and taught them how to fight. Now, what's interesting about all this, when you get into the actual detail of this, we have to step up next to the Tower of Babel. And remember, they were still speaking the same language with the Tower of Babel. And Lucifer's basically like the anti-religious department of God, and his bringing all these different religions into existence was basically wanting to create a one-world religion, convincing the people to worship lifeless idols of wood, stone, gold, and silver. And the worship of these images was predicated upon lies. The reason that these people were being sacrificed and being given to these idols was because God had cut off the angels from the energy field that was the universe, and the only way they could eat, they were kind of like in a starvation mode, was to eat the energy beings from the sacrifice of humans. This is exactly why we still have all of this abortion on this planet, and a million children go missing every year. And these satanic rituals, and I've talked about this in length, where they connect themselves together in like 13 people around a sacrificial stone with somebody on it, which is horrible stuff to talk about, and they create a resonance link, and they feed the demons on the other side, and in turn, the demons on that side give these people knowledge and control the energy field on this planet and the physical reality, and allow things like Jeffrey Epstein to occur and Ghislaine Maxwell to occur and all this perversion and pedophilia to occur. And what happened is when the Tower of Babel was built, God realized, and it could have been there could have been a space gate, you know, a wormhole above high enough up that they wanted to get back into. That could have been. I've heard other writers talk about that. I don't know. But this age of paganism started, and these fallen angels realized after the flood that they had been defeated again. After the Tower of Babel was torn apart, they realized they had been defeated again. But the war wasn't over with on this planet. Okay, they realized that this removed from the generation removed from the Tower of Babel had full knowledge of what had transpired when the holy angels moved them all over the world. So they started these religions that required these blood sacrifices to these demon gods in order to basically feed the demon gods. And see, this is, you look in 1 Corinthians 10, 19 through 20 and see that. The demons made them fanatical to kill those who refused to worship their particular gods, these, you know, Baal, Asherah, and Moloch. That's what I've told you guys. The entire planet is still being run by the ancient Canaanite religions. And once you understand that, you start to see it, you understand why they wanted human sacrifices to feed the entities on the other side of the veil. And they put all these different religions out there, and they put women and children on the altars, and they cooked them, and they fed them like frying bacon on these altars to create as much energy as they could while they were being killed. This is the sickness that this thing is. This is how perverse Lucifer is. He's like an energy vampire that runs around seeking those whom he may devour, is what the scripture tells us. But he may not devour us because we have been sanctified by the blood of the Lamb and the power of our testimony. That's why he hates Christians. He can't eat us. Gosh, that sounds weird. He can't consume our energy field. He's not allowed to do that because we are sanctified by the blood of the Lamb. We have Jesus protecting us. That's why they're so angry what happened 2,000 years ago on the cross, and they want to reverse it. They want to have the ability to stop what they've done with Christianity. They want their old world order back so they can have open human sacrifices, open paganism, open everything. Why do you think Paul kept saying in the New Testament, hey, guys, how about you don't go to orgies? Mm-hmm. How about that? How about in the Old Testament where Paul was saying, in the Old Testament where God kept telling the children of Israel who had fallen into this unbelievable demonic state, hey, how about you stop sacrificing your children on the altars of Baal and Moloch and Asherah? And how about you, Solomon? You fell away too, and you also sacrificed children on these altars. It was all to feed the demon gods. Now, we've got to stop for 1 second. We've got to look at this stuff, and we got to realize who Lucifer was. Lucifer, he was the most beautiful and powerful of all angels. He was given apparently the earth to rule. At the same time, he was tasked with traveling to the city of God outside of the universe in the third heaven. Apparently, I'm just, this is speculation. And he was serving for very vast periods of time on the throne of the Godhead. You know, remember what they said in Ezekiel 28:14-15. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou was upon the holy mountain of God, and thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of the fire. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day they were created until iniquity was found in you. And apparently one of his duties was to lead praise and worship with the Godhead. I don't know how long that continued. It doesn't say how long it continued. But apparently he was no longer content when he returned to serving from the throne room as he was going back and forth according to what he was doing on the earth. He started to entertain thoughts about his prestige and his grandeur, and evil was found in him. Now, remember, the first thing he did was to call the earthly kings and different nations and inform them that he was no longer going to serve the Godhead. Apparently, this is what happened. Now, I don't know. I mean, I can't go back into history and look at exact numbers on that. But he elevated himself to the Godhead. This is what Isaiah 14 talks about, that with verses 12 through 14. It says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. And I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High God. He basically wanted to come in and take God's place. Now, stay with me right a second. I'm going to tell you this. This is very, very important. He apparently, because remember, the angels were all over the universe. Now, there were angels and there were other entities that were created that were under the angels. The angels were very, very powerful, and this apparently had gone through the entire universe. Lucifer decided his next step in the rebellion was to visit these different angelic civilizations to persuade them to join the rebellion. Now, this, again, is speculation, but apparently this is what happened. I don't know. I wasn't there. This is all pre-Adamic stuff. And so the angels had been created with free will, and it was up to them to decide if they wanted to reject Lucifer or to join his rebellion. Surprisingly, about a third of the angels were taken over by Lucifer's words, and they immediately followed suit and cleaned out anyone, supposedly, this is again speculation, who wanted to continue serving the Godhead. Now, here's where it gets really strange. Lucifer was then crowned God of the universe by the fallen angels, and they began to mobilize their forces to go against God. This is where the Kabbalah comes in. This is where Ein Sof comes in. This is where the snake in a tree is taking the place of God Almighty. This is when the snake in a tree, who's got his 14 archangels around him that you have to have sex with when you go to pray to this particular God, and that's why they rock back and forth while they're praying. They're simulating a sex act. And forgive me having children on the show this morning listening to this, but this is what they do when you watch the practice of Kabbalah. Here, when all of this was going on, is when this other religion started to alter, to basically worship this other God who they claim was the creator of the universe because they saw him as that with Lucifer. Now, you think, wow, or with the devil, or don't start with me on that, or you just want to call him Ein Sof. It doesn't make any difference. That's the field here that we have to deal with right now. And we need to understand that these entities that we have, they were basically, you know, running the show on this planet because they've been confined down here. And also they were, you know, being forced, you know, to basically submit to the angels that were already here. You know, and remember, God makes sense because of the infinite number of planets in the physical universe that God wanted to create some other type of non-angelic race which could be confined to a physical realm where we are right now. Angels were supposed to rule over these people and develop each planet. And they started to design the different angels, you know, accordingly as far as with God. So what's happening with this is that you have to understand, all these angels have been designed to be highly skilled in technology. Now, listen to me. I'm tying this to COVID right now. They could create individuals, but they could not give them the spark of life. That only came from God Almighty. But they could create spacecraft for intergalactic travel. They could oversee manufacturing and trade between different angelic civilizations. Each planet was developed with different cities and nations. Maybe. This is presumption. But you can look at Isaiah 14, 12 through 21, and Ezekiel 28, 1 through 19. And we understand that all of this stuff was being done to basically expand the universe through God. But however, there was an option, and it was used to cut the angels off from the power emanating from the Godhead. And what happened is these angels at that point realized that they had to sacrifice humans. This is what's happened on this planet with the abortion. And so this is the crazy part of all of this stuff. You know, you've got to realize Lucifer, when he was doing all of this stuff, he was completely ignorant of the Godhead's actions because he knew that he knew what he knew in the present, but he was not omnipresent. He couldn't go into the future and see what was going on. And so he ordered an attack on the Godhead in the third heaven. And when he did this, he basically, who knows, the war began. It, you know, he really must have thought the situation was going to be winnable or he wouldn't have done it. But it was stupid because he's God. You can't go against God. And so God realized that it wasn't going to happen. And this epic battle of the universe, it could have covered millions of light years. I mean, given the size of the innumerable amount of angels, who knows how long this thing lasted. But they were basically going about destroying everything. Well, of course, God knew what they were going to do, and so he stopped it. And after this, Lucifer was found guilty in his trial, supposedly when he was burnt to ash, and he realized at that point that he was going to be confined to this planet, and now he's a roaring lion seeking those who may devour on this planet. And, you know, we have to understand something here. You know, when we understand when these fallen angels were given the instructions and there are other beings on the planets with them to fight to the death, we don't know how long this war lasted. But we know one thing. God had to flush the planet the first time in order to get the remnants of that stuff off this planet. That's what he did the first time. And so when we understand this warfare goes out like this and these people basically are dying in this giant galactic war, and then we start seeing all of this ancient alien technology on our planet and these ancient alien structures. And we have TV shows like Ancient Alien Astronauts trying to justify all of this stuff and realize that this was a massive, epic war that occurred before Adam and Eve. That's why I said this is so complicated when you try to speculate. And again, a lot of this is scripture that I'm trying to tie together with it, and I'm extrapolating from the scripture as to what happened. Now, if you don't agree with me on all this, whatever. Then you figure out the book of Job and try to reconcile it with current scripture. And you try to figure out how he was able to go back and forth. But he was the most powerful angel ever created. He's like the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, so to speak. And because of that, I guess God gave him a special allowance to prove that he could change. But he hasn't changed anything. He's been locked up down here because he's a liar. That's why Jesus called him out of the book of John when they Pharisees were talking to Jesus, and they said that their father was Abraham. He looked at him and said, oh, no, 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 and I'm paraphrasing, your father ain't Abraham, your father's the devil, period. That's he was for liar from the beginning, and he continues to be a liar. And Jesus came down here on this planet as God, as man, as the Son of Man, to basically stop all of this stuff and to give us an escape strategy to get away from this stuff. But this war in the heavenlies has been going on for a long, long, long time. Even Paul says, and Jesus said, the battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against these other entities and these other dimensions that come in and do what they do and travel around creating all of this nightmare stuff that people have to deal with. And the evil, people are always saying, well, God, why does God allow the evil to be like this on the planet? There's rules of engagement. There's rules that have been set in place here. There's rules that we have to live by and they have to live by. Otherwise, I get sent back into the lake of fire, I guess. I don't know what he does with them. Maybe locks them back up in Antarctica. I have no idea. But the point is, there's certain things they know they have. That's why they have the lesser and white magic. That's why they've got to tell you in advance what they're going to do to you before they do it. And if they have this lesser magic going on in front of them, supposedly they don't have as much issue on the other side of the veil when everything comes to an end and they don't have to deal with all of the blowback from what they did. That's why they come in and they give you stuff and they tell you, we're going to let you take the COVID shot. Stay with me. We're going to let you take the COVID shot. You're going to sign a release. You don't have to take the COVID shot. We're not going to lock you up. We're not going to do that. But we're going to make you sign a release so you know you're doing this voluntarily. And we're going to make you now, if you don't take the COVID shot, we are going to give you basically, you know, a chance to be fired from your job. Oh, my gosh. What they did with that COVID. Now, like Austin said, they're rewriting this. And this nanolipid technology that was brought to us by Lieber, probably inspired by his dad, probably inspired by fallen angel stuff, all of this stuff. No, you never hear from him about him anymore. This PhD from Harvard who was involved with the nanolipid technology. All of this stuff is from the fallen ones, from the ones that I told you who are highly skilled and technical in their abilities to do what they wanted to do. There is no way on Earth that we have the technology to come in and create nanolayered particles like that that can penetrate cell walls and go into the DNA and change your DNA with an mRNA shot. That was given to these entities that are basically possessing these individuals that are involved in this. And yesterday I mentioned one of the guys who was involved with AI, who comes in and says, now I wish I had never done the work on this. I wish I had never been involved in this, because what it's going to do, and I'm going to tie it all back together right now, this battle isn't going to go away. It's not going to stop. And we have our ability right now, because of the blood of the Lamb and the power of our testimony, and because we've been sanctified by the blood, I've told you how that works from an energy field standpoint, to stand against all of this stuff. But we have to realize that the book of Revelation and the opening of the seals, it's going to happen, whether we want it to or not. Now, we may be able to slow it down a little bit by standing against it in aggregate. But look what's happened to the church. Look what's happened to the church with the Johnson Amendment, where that filthy pervert Johnson got that passed back in the 50s. Look what's happened when they took the reading of the Bible out of the church back in the 60s. Look what's happened with what they're doing now with the transgender agenda, which is, again, going right back to the worship of their God. Now you understand this, what I'm telling you right now, about why it's so important to talk about why the transgenders believe their God is an hermaphrodite. It's all sick. It's all perversion of the word of God, and it's all about destroying Christianity and destroying the believers who've been sanctified by the blood of the Lamb. They don't want Christianity to be preached. They hate Christianity because God basically did a sidestep on them. They had no idea what he was going to do. That's why I read you the scripture yesterday. Had they known what they were doing, they never would have crucified the Son of Glory. They don't know how to do this. They can't go back in time and erase it. If they could do it, they go back in time, which is probably what they're doing with CERN, to try to stop the crucifixion from ever occurring. Because that created a problem for them. They can't fix that because they're not omnipresent. So they want to have Lucifer running about as a lion, tying us into a D-wave computer, into an interdimensional interface to allow them to basically allow every thought to be evil all of the time. And Jesus said that when he said, as it was in the days of Noah, so it shall be upon my return, when every thought was evil all the time. I'm paraphrasing and adding that back in from Genesis 6. But remember who you are in Christ. This war was a... It was galactic. It was a galactic war, and it went on for who knows how long. But God understood all of that, and he realized that he had to send Christ, and that's the mystery of salvation and what he's done for us. So always remember that. I had a friend of mine this morning, and his wife is dying of cancer. Now listen to me for a second. This is a hard conversation for me to have, and she is riddled with cancer now. And they've tried all kinds of alternative stuff. They've tried all kinds of chemotherapy and radiation and all that. He's arguing with her because he wants to try more of this and more of that. He's pretty much bankrupted himself. And my response to him was, he goes, what do you think I should do? And I said, look, I said, our life here is momentary at best. I said, love her and give her peace because she's about to meet Jesus. She's a Christian. Just hold her hand because they're giving her a few months to live now. And just make it as nice as she possibly can to transition into the next life. And I said to my friend, I said, death is a lie. It doesn't happen. We don't die. We just change our address. That's all we do. And with Christians, we have a much better place we're going to next. Always remember that, of who Jesus is and what he did. That's why he said, death is death. Where is thy victory? Where is thy sting? He's overcome both death, hell, and the grave. And we have the ability as Christians to continue to walk and stand with God all the days of our life for all of eternity if we follow him. That's what this battle is all about, is to prove that we are going to follow God. And that we're going to have the ability to stand with Jesus all the days of our life. This, you know, my wife passed away last year. It's been almost a year now. And I tell you what, she was a hardcore born-again believer of the Holy Ghost, God, Jesus, all of that. And she's in heaven now with him. And I'll see her again. Now, I can't go to her. She can't come back here, but I can go to her, you know, when I pass on. That's what we have hope for. We have hope for standing against the evil on this earth and the next life that we're going to have. Always remember that. Because this world, this momentary stuff that we do here, is just a day, 1,000 years is but a day to God. We're only here for just a few minutes on this planet. So only thing that's going to stick with us is what we do for Christ. That's going to last. And when we get saved, we bring our family into heaven with us. Always remember that. And always remember that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And that this is the day the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice on it, and I will be glad in it. Now, tomorrow we'll continue Angel Wars. This is a long series, and we'll talk about more and more and more of what happened after the flood, what happened before the flood, what happened in the Garden of Eden, and what happened with the space war, and who Lucifer is and who his minions are, and how we can continue to stand and work and defeat them.